Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, 3/7/2017. It means we're already deep into the month.
Deep into the month of March. My birthday's coming up.
What day is that going to be?
20th.
Oh,
Yeah. I'll be heading to New York this weekend. I have a buddy of mine turning 50, so we're going to be going to Delmonico's this weekend. Steak joint.
Delmonico's?
Yeah. You've heard of it?
Isn't that the famous place from the 1800s?
Yeah.
I thought that place was long gone.
No, down on Wall Street area. It's going to be a lot of fun. Huh. Going to be a lot of fun.
Interesting.
Yep. Well, let's talk about what's going on. Markets are moving sideways after a very big week, massive week, post the presidential address to Congress. They don't call it the State of the Union. The first one and the first time that he actually talks in front of Congress, there's really no name. It's just the first presidential address.
Reagan's the one who invented this idea.
Of not calling it anything, or just
no. It's because he's the one who did this early speech. It was just an early kind of an introduction speech. It's not a State of the Union by any means.
Yeah, we saw the market go up like close to 300 points on the Dow Jones Industrial Average the day after. There's a little bit of nothing much overnight, but everybody got excited. Do you have any thoughts on why that was?
Absolutely none. Unless they think maybe the repatriation of the overseas money might make a big difference to the economy. Or something along those lines. I'm not sure.
I think it was, if I was to lay down a guess, it was because he stuck to the script. He had that greater presidential mode to him. Didn't go, and he didn't implode. He didn't, you know, call out anybody. Didn't say he's going to.
Yeah, I kind of missed that.
Yeah.
I'd rather see him implode.
Well, don't worry. 3 days later, you're back on.
Good.
He's back on the Twitter with the wiretapping and all the things.
Yeah, that's becoming interesting.
So it looks like March is going to be a high probability for a rate hike as the Fed speakers are coming out and Janet Yellen giving it the seemingly go ahead. I think that right now the Fed fund futures are somewhere in the mid 80% range for a rate hike this month, which I guess is next week.
Yeah, I think so.
We saw that.
Yeah, I think it probably will be a rate hike. Why not?
I think they're stuck to it at this point.
Yeah.
Because there's no, you know, with the Fed fund futures as high as they are, they realize they're not going to surprise the markets. There's no surprise. There's not, you know, so now it's like, okay, let's just do it. They think it's going to happen. Let's just do it. Why not? I think the markets are actually pushing them rather than pushing the markets and going by their famous dot plots and economic indicators to provide them. It's kind of what the market says we'll do. Now, year to date, the major markets are up pretty well. This is the first back-to-back decline on the Dow Jones Industrial Average today since, I think, January. Small amounts. But so far this year, the Dow Jones up almost 6%, S&P almost 6% up, the NASDAQ almost 9%, crude is down 3.5%.
I wonder if they're going to. I guess they have a big meeting right now in Europe somewhere for all the OPEC guys, and they're saying they don't expect the oil to go down much more.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia is saying that. Can you really trust these guys? I mean,
no, but I think you can trust them more than Goldman Sachs when they predict the price of oil.
Well, I mean, they're talking about the oil is now in balance and prices are where they should be, and they'll continue, you know, holding off on any major cuts. And
yeah, exactly. They said every one of those things. Right. Yeah.
So gold has been down for six sessions in a row as the dollar rebounded. The big question is it going to be a time for reversal? There's definitely some support at these levels. But with the dollar moving higher, gold has seen, you know, gold when you buy it in dollar terms is, you know, is obviously not doing as well. And some other currencies. But, you know, there's a lot of people talk about, oh, you buy gold in yen. Well, how do you do that?
What?
Yeah, that's what they say. Gold in yen terms, gold in euro terms. You got to go and start, you know, shorting the dollar or going long the dollar and buying the yen.
Sounds like you're going to lose all the potential for profits on all the middlemen that you have to go through to get these transactions to work.
Yeah, or just move over there and just buy it in their dollars or in their currency, I guess. Japan's GDP was revised up for the last quarter to a whopping 1.2%. Estimates were for about 1.6%. So Japan is still in its malaise, not able. I think it's only it's only been, you know, 20 years or so that this is going on with them. And by the way,
it's permanent.
It is permanent. That's a good point.
It's permanent. Yeah, it's obviously permanent. I don't see why anybody denies it.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that they could do. They have to find something else to do here. You know, I was looking at some of the manufacturing numbers from around the world recently. The various countries like China, Japan, Europe, U.S., all the manufacturing numbers are really doing much better over the last several months. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I'm thinking, well, we see that some things like employment's better. We see that wage growth is a little bit better. We see that in the U.S., at least, that consumer confidence is high. However, spending has not increased very significantly. So I was thinking about this. I'm like, why is this? Why are we seeing this all of a sudden surge or, you know, better move in manufacturing? I started to think about what happened in Japan in 2014. If you remember, there was a tax, a sales tax that was going to be added in Japan because they had been issuing all these bonds and they had been going out and, you know, trying to reflate their economy through quantitative easing measures and buying stocks on the market and real estate REITs and all that and buying all these ETFs up. And Moody's and S&P and all them were saying, you know, if you keep doing this, we may have to downgrade your sovereign debt. So Japan went and said, well, you know what we'll do? We need to bring in some more tax revenue to pay for these bonds that we're issuing. So we'll do that. And what happened was an incredible amount of spending went on in the months right up until the tax hike was implemented, the day that it was implemented, right?
Right.
And then after that, they went into a recession. So I was thinking, is it possible that all this manufacturing is going on because there's a concern about a border tax and protectionism and trade wars?
Yeah.
And what's happening now is all these companies are saying, let's just get this stuff pumped up. A lot of companies saying, let's buy it now before we have to worry about any kind of tax, any kind of border, you know, trade war situation.
Creating an artificial bubble.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about that?
I like this theory.
Yeah. And if it is, we won't see if I am correct until two things happen. First, if there is a border tax that's implemented or trade wars or any kind of other protectionism that really goes into play besides just talk about it. And then even if it doesn't go into play, what happens if there isn't an increase in spending and all these inventories are there? So we'll see a surge in inventories.
Ah, right.
So one of the two things is going to happen. And then we get into a problem area where all of a sudden they start back to deflation because they'll start pushing stuff back on the market.
They have to dump the stuff, get rid of it.
Exactly.
Dump inventory.
Right.
Lower prices.
Yeah. So I just think there's some maybe a little thin right now, but I think there is some reasonable expectation that this could be something that's going on from the far-fetched view of Horowitz.
I like it.
Yeah. We'll see. You're starting to see some murmurs about this, by the way, in the news.
Oh, okay.
China, I don't know what's happening here and what happened, but do you remember when China was all about like 10 and 12% annual growth and things were great? And then they said, well, you know, we're going to try to turn our economy more towards a consumer-driven versus an export type of economy. Remember that whole thing they're trying
to... Yeah, and I've been watching some Chinese news and news analysts that come out of that new station, the China... It's got a new Chinese global TV, CGTV, which is their new initiative to move their information around around the world. And they talked about this with the conclusion that it's bullcrap. They're not getting hardly the traction that they wanted for the consumers, just for the consumer market to develop buying their products. And the funny thing is, because I remember a couple of Christmases ago, this was a topic, and it turns out that the Chinese, when they get into becoming consumerists, they want anything but Chinese products, which causes nothing but trouble. I mean, they'd rather buy a product that was sold, that was made in China, delivered to the Japanese, remarketed under some brand name, and then buy that.
Ship through Korea and then, back.
Well, it's better. Japanese, much better product.
Yeah. Well, they know. They know their products are crap. But that, well, now what's happening is they, you know, their target was about 7% in 2016. That was their economic growth target. Now it's, then it was to 6.7. And now they just came out with their newest update at 6.5.
Don't say anything until I get this back on track. I've done this a number of times. What happens is I have the keyboard, which I keep on the floor, and then I kick it. And I don't know what button I'm kicking, but it turns my speakers on mute.
Are you back up?
Yeah.
And in order to click the button, do you have to use your toes?
It's on the floor, like leaning, and I think I just brush it with my foot, but I don't know actually what button I'm hitting. After the show, I'm going to have to experiment to see what it is, because I suppose if I flipped it upside down, this wouldn't happen. And this happened to me twice now.
Dare I ask, why is the keyboard on the floor?
Because it's the only place I have room for it.
What do you?
I have all my notes and stuff all over the desk here, and the keyboard is a cordless keyboard. It's not hooked to anything, so it's, you know. So I grab it with my right hand and throw it on my lap.
Ah, gotcha.
Otherwise, I'm not using it.
There's probably a better mechanism, like you can lift your monitor up and push your keyboard underneath, like a little stand.
Yeah.
$12.
Maybe we'll not going to happen.
Not going to happen. No. Okay. Well, anyway, so as I was mentioning, China is at 6.5% now, down from 7% a year or so ago, down from 6.7%. And they're willing to tolerate slightly slower economic growth this year to give them more room to push through some painful reforms to deal with the rapid buildup in debt, which they pushed out. And the only reason they did so was to meet their numbers. So the whole thing is ridiculous how what's going on.
Well, then we also have the layoffs. They laid off like 500,000 steel workers.
Very bad.
500,000 layoff. And then I was watching again this Chinese station, the guy says, well, yeah, it sounds like a lot to you. But we had, and then he named it, I think it was 1990, they laid off 10 million workers on some circumstance.
Wow.
So they have a slightly different way of doing things than we do.
Hold on. I have to tap my keyboard with my nose. I put my keyboard in the air, so I have it close to my nose.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah. The IPO of Snap, formerly known as Snapchat. You know, I love when companies like, we have a big plan. We are going to change the entire image of the company. We're going to change it from Snapchat to Snap.
Yeah.
Now that added value, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm putting it on the list as a short.
Well, so let me tell you what happened with this. Okay. Snapchat comes live and active at 17. That's the IPO price. Can't get it at 17. No. But that was the IPO price. Moved up to about 24 on the open last week when it went public.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, I scratched my head wondering what was the potential for this company. I see the product. I looked at it. There's no website. It's an app only. It's a one to many, but it's not the same as like even a Twitter where you can really, you know, retweet and keep things going because everything disappears. So here we are with a company that you utilize as a very, we'll call it advanced image, instant message type of situation where it disappears. And even if you use any advertisement in that, because maybe there's a taco or a donut or, you know, a beer in your particular one, the question is, you know, how long does somebody see it? They see it for 10 seconds and it's gone. Gone, unless they take a screenshot and all that. Okay, now, and again, I think Snapchat is a lot of fun. Moved up to $29.44 at the top 2 days after. And today now it's trading near $21.
Sounds right.
Yeah. A lot of analysts are coming out. This is interesting, this part. You don't often see this with an IPO so quickly. It's probably the most hated IPO of all time. Analysts have sell ratings and lower price targets on this. And I put a chart over on dhunplug.com. On the show notes, you can see how it, you know, picked up and opened up at right at 24, came in a little bit, then Snap Tire, to, they're using a lot of things like, oh, where's the snap crackle? Oh, it popped. Or there's just crackle with it.
Yeah, asking for trouble.
Yeah. So Snap, you know what also is interesting about Snap is that on my system, I have, on one of my trading systems, I have the ability to short stock. And when IPOs usually come out, you can't short them so quickly. You know, it takes days, multiple days. And today, or maybe yesterday, the color changed from dark green, which means you really can't, red, which you can't get, dark green, difficult to get, to light green, bright green, which means there's plenty of shares. I looked at, there's 450,000 shares to short on this thing.
Wow.
So you have a borrow already available on this thing. It's no wonder why the stock went from 29 down to 21. It's about a 30% turnaround here. You can find all these charts and things that we talk about and show notes over on dhunplug.com. Check that out. There's a variety of things that you'll find there, as well as the links to our weekly stock picks, the old Codgers versus Millennial portfolio, and all sorts of other fun and interesting things to kill some time. Now, Bitcoin, we haven't talked about this in a long time, right?
Exactly.
And probably we don't want to, but markets, you know, everything keeps on being bought with the exception of gold. And I thought, let's look at Bitcoin. How is that doing? Take a look at this chart. All-time high.
Yeah, I noticed this chart. This has been floating around. Yeah, they're up to price of gold is parity.
Exactly.
This doesn't even exist.
And there's another Bitcoin type of instrument that's been floating around recently.
Well, if you look into it, there's about 20 of these things. They're not all popularized, but there's a bunch of these crazy cryptocurrencies, they like to call them.
Is it something that you would look to buy or just?
No. I think they're all bogus. And I'm, you know, I think about the Bitcoin thing every so often because it was down to $300. It would have been a nice buy for a four bagger.
Yep.
And I just can't pull the trigger on it. I'm always figuring that it'd be down to 400 again. I buy some and then it drops off and boom, net worth nothing. I just don't like it.
And I wonder if the Bitcoin lovers, like the gold bugs, are as fanatical. Yeah. They're kind of almost as fanatical.
Oh, yeah.
About Bitcoin as they are with gold, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. Bitcoin, you could buy anything, do anything. It's easy. Anyway, there is an ETF that looks like it is going to be up for approval by Friday. So you'll be able to buy Bitcoin in an ETF, which will just make it even more volatile.
Oh, yeah. No, it's too weird.
Yeah, and the symbol's going
to
be...
I mean, you have to be a rank speculator.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's plenty of them out there. We'll see how this actually trades with any volume. Look for the symbol COIN for coin when it comes out.
I will.
All right. I'm a little worried about something, I must tell you. I'm okay. Concerned. Where is Kellyanne Conway?
I think she's still sitting on her legs.
Sitting on the couch.
Yeah, on the couch.
Did you see?
No one has the guts to tell her, hey, you know, can you get off the couch, please?
Did you watch Saturday Night Live with the skit with Jeff Sessions sitting on the park bench with a box of chocolate?
No. So
he talks about.
Sounds good though.
Yeah. You say something like, oh, that poor Kellyanne Conway has no legs. You know, if you look at the picture, it looks like, you know, what was his name? Sergeant whatever or Sergeant Dan.
Yeah.
From that movie. But obviously they put her in the back. She's in the corner these days. But there's been.
Well, she did what they wanted her to do, which was get out in front. Yeah. You know, what I noticed was, you know, that was every time you turn on any of these shows, it was Kellyanne Conway yakking away, just saying whatever she felt like. And then they get bang, bang, bang. They finally blackballed her. They wouldn't put her on these shows anymore. And now it's a huge variety of people.
Yeah, there's almost like the person of the week.
Yeah, it's all different guys. And it's like a whole different profile than Kellyanne Conway put out. I think she was just used for that purpose, just as a filler.
I don't know. We'll see what happens with her. I have a feeling that she just doesn't go away. She's just she's never going to go away. She doesn't seem like the type that will allow them to let her go away.
She's not a shrinking violet.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I wouldn't want to piss her off.
No, she looks like a tough cookie. She's supposed to cold cocked a couple of guys at one of the inauguration balls. Mm.
We heard President Trump today lay out the details, put the details in quotes there, of the healthcare replacement plan, which is going to be called the American Healthcare Act. I'm surprised he's not calling it Trumpocare.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to take a chance on something like that.
So I was listening to this. I just happened to catch a little bit of this, and this is what I believe he said, seriously. And this is, I think I wrote it down word for word. When he was explaining the details of this plan, he says, it is a plan that you could choose your doctor, a plan that you could choose your plan. This is the plan. That was it.
Yeah.
I think that's good. I'm going to vote for that.
Well, we'll see what happens.
So you know that I've been, you know, I watch a lot of websites, watch a lot of data, a lot of information. And you and I have discussed many times how many of these websites have become more and more unreadable over the years. You know, they started with very much just text and, you know, you could find what you're looking for. And then they got into trying to, I don't know, it's like somebody is hiring the MySpace guys to design everything. They got into all these pictures, and there's pictures everywhere now, you know, and you can't see, you know, less and less articles, less and less information, and not to even mention the advertisement. So today I went on MarketWatch, which is, you know, a pretty good site for news, or has been. You got to kind of meander through it because a lot of opinion pieces rather than news. And I thought, I said, what did they do to this site?
I haven't looked at it for a while.
And they changed it again today. Now it's just all these this is not at all what it used to look like. It's just the whole top of it now is market information, this giant area. Of course, an ad right below that, an ad to the side. And then, you know, giant pictures and small pictures. And it's a bungle of information that is in no particular order.
Well, once they lost their main guys that started it, the original founders, who left after the story behind. Oh, yeah. This looks like crap.
Doesn't it?
The founders of the company had long-term plans to sell it or become partners with CBS, and because they were doing a lot of work with CBS. And then they were going to sell it to the company, but apparently Dow Jones came in and bought everything out from under everyone, and they took the whole thing over. And then the founders left, and a bunch of other people left, and I left. And it's just kind of like, I don't even know what the point of it is anymore. And I don't, this doesn't look good what you're looking at here.
Yeah, it's terrible. I find it very difficult. Like, you know, if you want all these stocks and stuff like that, put on the sidebar somewhere. Well, that would then ruin the gigantic Fidelity banner they have on the right that just moves with you as you move down.
There's actually two Fidelity banners. There's one above.
Yeah.
And oh, then they, yeah, the one that sticks, the sticky one.
When they put those on top like that on above, it always looks so amateurish to me.
Yeah, this site doesn't look as slick as it did used to. I mean, you know, one of the things they had, I think they lost their focus. Although there's a few articles that seem to be focused. These kinds of sites, if you write for any of these operations like Barron's, I worked for them for a while, MarketWatch, any of them. The whole reason I've always liked to contrast Fox Business with CNBC. Fox Business has a lot of crazy stuff that's got nothing to do with anything. And CNBC is wall-to-wall stock tips. Guys, come on, it's stock tips. Guys, go over here, stock tips, stock tips, stock tips. It's all stock tips. And that's what people want from these sorts of sites, it turns out. They want stock tips.
Of course.
So some of these articles like in this MarketWatch thing, here's a good example. Note to Representative Chaffetz, healthcare is a lot more expensive than an iPhone. That's not a stock tip. Here's another one. Money-ish. It says, this parking spot costs more than a Bentley. That is not a stock tip.
Yeah, how about why people spend $10,000 on funerals?
Yeah.
A day without a woman appeals to white middle-class Americans.
Yeah, all the women are taking off tomorrow, supposedly. Anyway, and I think they've lost their focus. I think they've lost their understanding because, I mean, the Wall Street Journal is a little different because it's kind of a newspaper that competes with the New York Times and the rest of them. And I think they're trying to make money market watch into something like that. So it's like a news site. But it's you got the Wall Street Journal if you want that stuff. This should be nothing but stock tips from beginning to end. And I'd say the same thing about Fox Business. Fox Business is a mess. Yeah. Because it's no, just about, I say maybe 40% stock tips and the rest of it just political stuff.
And you see how it works when you hover over a picture real quick? They make it move like it's a moving picture. It's like a faux move. Like it's a little bit of a zoom and a zoom out real quick.
Yeah, there's a little bitty thing it does. What's the point of that?
I don't know. Just to waste bandwidth. Yeah, to make it look like it's really something's happening. All about getting excitement and getting the clicks. Oh. In Barron's this week, I thought this was very interesting because once you start to see Barron's do this kind of thing, the top three stories in their paper this week and online all related to the same thing. Barron's is usually a pretty bullish paper. And they do a good job with, I mean, I'm not a big fan of this anymore. I used to be a big fan. But take a look at this. This is
You've never been a big fan. You've always bitched and moaned about Barron's.
Ever since Mike Santoli left and a couple of the guys, not my favorite thing. But look at these top three stories here.
Yeah, what are they? What? Read them to me.
So number one, time to exit U.S. equities. Number two, risks are mounting for stocks. Number three, stocks are overvalued.
That's very unusual. You're right.
Yeah. This is the 1, 2, and 3. Check that out over on, again, these images and things of that nature are over on dhunplug.com. We have lots more to cover here.
Who's Bob Dahl?
He's a guy that used the word constructive all the time, and he moves his lips and his mouth really weird, like he's always eating air. He's always we're constructive on these stocks. Constructive. We're very constructive on the stocks. Bob Dahl. Dahl. Did you see the news on Caterpillar? Switching gears here for a second.
No.
Plowing right into this one. We gotta dig a little deeper into this story. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're scraping the bottom of the of the pit.
A few days ago. There was a news flash that the Caterpillar facilities in Peoria were swarmed by all sorts of feds. And it seems that they got some kind of warrants that were looking for all sorts of files and things. This is back. This is something that happened in 2015. And all these IRS folk were going in and all sorts of Fed agents were going in. The U.S. Department of Commerce Bureau of Industry and Security Office of Export Enforcement. It seems like there was some money that was diverted a few years back and pushed there. No wonder why their tax rate was so good. And now they're looking to get back at Caterpillar.
Oh, interesting.
So we'll see what happened there. You know, we've had on all these big companies like Caterpillar and Boeing. And by the way, you need to send me your price guess for Boeing.
I'll tell you what it is.
Okay, go ahead.
You got your pen?
I have a pen. It's underneath my keyboard. Go ahead.
174.
Boeing. Okay.
Obviously, I'm not bullish on Boeing.
Yeah. Well, let's see what's going on with Boeing. It's interesting that we had this moment where all these big companies are like, yeah, we're going to be adding a lot of jobs and, we're going to be closing down the plan for our Mexican plant and we're going to be bringing back jobs here. And we hear about this quite often from the current administration. Okay, that's great. That's wonderful. We need jobs here. That's, the more the merrier. But Boeing has accepted, this is interesting, over 1,800 voluntary layoffs from its union machinists. Yeah, voluntary.
That can't be a good sign. Yeah. Voluntary.
Yeah, voluntary.
Here's your offer. Take it or leave it.
Yep. And then about 1,500 are going to be 1,500 yeah, taken voluntary layoffs already. So they're going to cut costs through job reduction of the measures. Now, let's back this up into the whole discussion about the art of the deal and pushing many of these companies to do something to bring up possible jobs, but really to cut a lot of their pay, right? To cut the defense costs for the various things like the Air Force One, the same thing that happened with
Lockheed. F-35 too.
Yep, yeah, exactly. So now we see 1,800 voluntary layoffs. And in similar news, in General Motors, they said on Monday they're going to lay off 1,100 workers in May at its Lansing Delta Township assembly plant in Michigan as it shifts productions to Tennessee. So much for them hiring another 500 people or so.
Well, they'll probably hire another 500 in Tennessee at low wages compared to UAW premium wages in Michigan.
Yeah, so now what they're going to do is they're going to move. They're going to somehow naturally find the cheapest jobs possible, but keep it in the U.S.
Yeah.
That's okay to do. I have no objection to that. But it's not exactly the plan that we heard.
No. It's a little misleading.
Yeah. Now, banks across the world, this I thought was a very interesting piece. This, since the financial crisis back in 07, 08, regulators have been hitting the banks, hitting the financial industry, fines and all sorts of penalties. And all. Nobody went to jail, by the way, or very few went to jail, but they get fined. Banks have paid a whopping $321 billion in fines since 2000.
I didn't know the number was that high. Wow.
$321 billion, according to Boston Consulting.
And nobody goes to jail. It seems that jail would be a more effective approach to stopping this. I mean, that's what the Chinese would have done and charged them the billions.
But you know what? If they go to jail, the brightest minds in finance slash crime go to jail, then they can't keep on. Maybe they won't get as good management to keep on generating these massive amounts of money that the government. Where's this money go?
I think it just goes to the general fund.
$321 billion. You know, if they just turned that into stimulus, put it right back into the economy, it'd be pretty good, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Some home mortgage relief.
63% of the total fines, or about $204 billion, were paid by North American banks. Now, we've been talking about protectionism. What do you think about this? The European Parliament has called on the EU executive on Thursday to force Americans to apply for visas before visiting Europe this summer.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is going to be me, I guess.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think this is not. Well, it's not that hard to apply for a visa, but where you go? There's no EU. There's no EU offices.
I guess
you have to go to the individual countries. You got to go to France and knock on their door, or the French consulate. They're not set up to do visas because they've never done them in the United States for the last 50 years. So there's no mechanism. You can go to the UK consulate and there's no mechanism. I don't know what to do. There's no paperwork. There's nothing. I mean, this is a disaster. They can't do this.
Well, why are they saying they want to do this? Just to cause trouble?
Because they're jerks. That's why.
Aside from being jerks, I mean, is it because they want to raise money from visa fees?
Is it
that they just want to, say, hey, America, we see a lot of the stuff that you're doing here and you're causing all sorts of trouble. And you know what? We're going to push this in your face.
It's not going to happen.
Meanwhile, they accept all these refugees, but they're not going to allow Americans to come.
You can get over there on a boat, but you can't get over there with a passport, American passport. It's not going to happen. This is some sort of, I don't know, there's some game going on. I just don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked in the beginning about the very fine reception that the markets gave after the Trump speech and how he was, in my opinion, very much well-contained, and he provided a very nice outlook and very, I would say, uplifting, a good speech overall. And then we also mentioned how he was back on the tweet wagon again, talking about wiretapping. And I know that on the No Agenda show this weekend, on Sunday in particular, you ripped this whole thing apart and put it back together. And if you haven't listened, by the way, folks, to the No Agenda show, I would highly recommend this Sunday's episode.
A lot of people like that episode.
Yeah. Well, it was on the heels of, first of all, you and Adam must be absolutely thrilled with the news flow. I mean, it doesn't get better than this, does it?
The way we see it, it's just endless money in the bank.
It's the news flow is, you couldn't have asked for any better political craziness.
No, and now we got this new thing that the CIA wires that were all leaked on WikiLeaks, they're spying. And none of this, of course, is unexpected, the CIA stuff. But there's some funny stuff in there. Mm. And that's like great. It just shows up. And there'll be something else again. You know, this is for the Thursday show. We got this information. It's going to be fantastic.
I talked to a client of mine who's ex-FBI. And he is just absolutely disgusted with the whole way that Comey is running this whole deal and how it's just made such a black eye on, for no reason. And he could not for the life of him try to put together what would be the incentive for the FBI imploding in such a way.
I don't know. I have no idea. He's got a better shot at the insight than we do.
Yeah, he could. I talked to him for a while today. Drug companies then after the tweet bandwagon got rolling again, drug companies were hit today after a tweet this morning.
Yeah, good.
And here I put the it's not there. It's the wrong. What? It's the wrong. It's not there. I'll update it. There's an image of the tweet. It said something of the fact of, hey, we're going to go after and make sure that drug pricing is good or something like that. So we'll see how this plays out. This has been an ongoing battle. One of the things, if you remember, was that Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton were very much, the drug companies really did poorly through the whole campaign cycle because they thought that Hillary Clinton and or Bernie Sanders or the Democrats in general were going to really attack the drug companies, right? Mm-hmm. So they didn't think when President Trump was elected that this was going to be as big of a deal. But he's been tweeting that he wants to go after it.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens there.
Nothing will happen.
Yeah. Supreme Court of Delaware is now looking into activist hedge funds, asking, who does this help? You know, you got these guys, these big wigs with all sorts of money going into the companies, getting seats on the board, pushing them to maybe increase their buybacks, maybe cut employees, the whole activist process that they go through, right?
Yeah.
And saying, who is this helping except for the rich and maybe there's no economic benefit to this outside of just the simple process and in raising the shares. Now, obviously, there is an economic benefit of the share price going higher. But other than that, if you just push that aside for 1 second, who is this helping and why are the fees so high and why are we seeing all this go on? So the Supreme Court of Delaware, I don't know why. Delaware is a big area for corporations, but.
Yeah, most of the big companies are incorporated there because they don't have to pay a lot of taxes.
Yeah, so they're going after them. I don't know. All right, and before we get to the stocks and.
I think maybe it has to do with Delaware itself, perhaps, is an idea. They don't like to see two Delaware incorporated firms merge because they get half as much money.
Ah. And if the activists come in, they could find out further ways to cut their taxes.
Yeah.
And Delaware would be hurt by that.
It's just a thought. Hmm. Yeah, it would be.
So it has nothing to do with really the idea that, hey, we're here to help you, the people.
No. That's when did that ever happen? When did that come into play?
There was a time once, I think. I remember one time.
I don't remember it.
Now, some of the things that are going on, by the way, have me, I read it and I sit back and I say, well, I don't get it. So this whole EPA thing. So one of the things I thought was really great over the last number of years was the whole idea that, cars are more efficient on fuel. Trucks are more efficient on fuel. We have electric coming into the play. I mean, all these good things that would be good for the environment, good for the economy, bring down costs, right? All this wonderful stuff. And now the EPA is looking to roll back rules that require specific fuel economy for cars and trucks. They're looking to reverse a plan that was put into place because the automakers are complaining that it will cost them money. And of course, you just throw this card out there. This is like the race card, right? This is for this administration, it's enforced job cuts.
Yeah.
anytime you want to do something with this administration or with government these days, it's, oh, we're going to have to fire people if you don't do it up. I mean, it's terrible leverage.
Yeah.
But well, why would they do that?
Because I don't think they – I think the numbers are all fake.
Which numbers? The fuel economy numbers?
Yeah, I think the Volkswagen got busted for it. And so then the Audi and all these other companies, everybody's, especially with diesels, was all bull crap. The numbers were phony because they're fixed in the computer. You know, if it senses it's going through a test, it changes all of its settings. And then it gives good numbers. I mean, it just seems to me that they've I think there's maybe just reality. We can't really do this. In fact, even I was testing some cars a couple of years ago, and I tested there's a whole bunch of cars that came out, and they all had like 47 highway and 27 city, and they all got the same gas mileage, which was about 30 miles to the gallon. There was no 47 or 37 or anything. It was always 30 if you actually took them into drove them around. And I asked the companies about this. All of them. And they all said the same thing. Oh, well, that number is based on a very specific test.
Yeah,
it's not based on real world.
Yeah, it's downhill.
Yeah, it's downhill.
It's all downhill.
I'll tell you, downhill, these cars do wonders.
But wait, downhill with nobody in it. But wait, but hold on a second. I hear what you're saying, that there was fraud and there was misrepresentations.
I think it was misrepresentation more than fraud. Although I think they all, for the most part, American companies, I think they did the right thing when they followed the instructions on how to get these numbers, but as opposed to Volkswagen.
But why would you as the EPA, instead of enforcing the actual numbers and looking at the-
We'd have no cars.
Who has no cars?
There would be no cars that if you actually enforced, if you made them actually perform the way that they claim to perform, nobody would be able to build a car.
So you're going to roll this back now, and so you're going to have even less?
I don't know why. You know, they could have just, I don't know, they could have whistled in the air, I guess, and not done anything. But I think maybe just to be more honest about it. So people aren't really expecting to get 47 miles to the gallon on some of these cars.
Well, honesty is never works. I mean, you look at the whole chicken mess that we're in now, that whole thing we talked about, I think, last week. Where, what was it? Subway is like 50, their white meat chicken sandwich is 50% chicken.
Yeah, 50%.
So that's okay. You know, it's as long as it says white meat chicken and, you know, you don't have to say the rest.
That's not okay by me.
That's disgusting.
But neither are these phony numbers that are on these cars.
So what you do is you just change the laws to meet it's once again business leading government, which, okay. I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, but I'm still having a tough time.
It's been the government leading business all along, but they get these guys in like Obama and some of these other nutballs like Jerry Brown in California. Oh, we should have no car should be built unless it gets 100 miles per gallon. Well, you know it's not, no one's going to build it. They can't do it. Even when you get the electric hybrid cars, you're not getting 100 miles a gallon.
Those hybrids. You know, if a regular car would get you 30 and 40, let's say, 30 city, 40 highway, and you get a hybrid and you're all jacked up about it and it gets you like an extra 5 miles to the gallon. I never understood that.
Yeah.
That was the most ridiculous thing. Oh, by the way, you know, one of my pet peeves is another one of mine. These cars that start and stop, you know, you pull.
Oh, I hate those things.
My wife had this BMW and every time I drove it, I said, I just can't do this.
My understanding is because I was sitting next to a BMW. As a coincidence, I'm at a stop sign, and then the light turns green, and I hear the car starting and going. Yeah. And we went to another stop sign. This time, I kind of tapped, you know, got the guy's attention. I had to ask him. I said, "Doesn't that get on your nerves? These things stopping and starting." I said, "Is there any way of overriding it?" And the guy says, "Yes,
yes, there is.
You can override it."
Yes. Well, now,
so if you can override it, why would you use it? It's terrible.
It's terrible. It's annoying. You know, I was always in fear of the moment that all of a sudden I had to put my foot on the gas real quick to get out of the way of somebody steamrolling towards me and this thing not starting.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Or getting on a hill or something and having it go backwards.
So now there's a new report out that – talking about how while it does save X amount of gallons over, you know, some ridiculously small amount over a period of time, it's releasing far greater amounts of battery, blah, 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 harmful battery, something or other, because you have to keep on starting it all the time.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's even worse for the atmosphere. Probably,
yeah, some gases or the battery off gases, and I guess some of it gets into the atmosphere.
And you have to buy more batteries because it wears down because you have much more start on the battery.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crap.
Bad idea. I thought that was the dumbest thing ever, these cars that had to start, stop and start like that. I first had one of these things. Again, it was a test car. This was a while ago. This is when the idea first came around. This is when the idea of the Cadillac, what was it? It's a 4.68 engine. You remember this?
Mm-hmm.
This is a General Motors thing. The car would run on 8 cylinders sometimes, and run on 6 cylinders, run on 4 cylinders, depending on the conditions. Well, during that same era, General Motors had introduced one of these cars that stopped and the engine started every time. And this was a while ago. And so they asked me if I wanted to test drive one. So I picked it up down here by Golden Gate Fields. And they, you know, it seemed kind of normal. And I said, let's go up Marin Avenue in Berkeley, which is a steep hill that goes straight up. And so I took it there, and at the first stop sign, which is on the hill, it's not like a flat area, it's hill, and I stopped, and the car went back about 50 feet as it was trying to start.
To start back up and hit on the old cylinders? Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Yeah.
The only thing, if they could do away with that, they could do with that and do away with this fob thing.
Oh, I hate the fob.
The fobs are the worst. There is a reason. There is one reason for a key. There is one very important reason for a key of the car. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, so you can somebody just get in a car and steal it.
No, so you could stick it somewhere so you don't forget it all the time.
Well, there's that. Well, the fob you can just keep in your pocket.
But then you have to give it to you valet park your car, and then if you forget to get it back from the guy and the car's still running, you get home, you can't start the car again.
Yeah, I don't like these. It's dumb.
I don't like it at all. Well, if you love the show, by the way, you can make a donation. We had some nice donations come in last week. And if you want to be one of those folks that we really hold in high regard to help us along with some of the things that we do on the site, keep the site going, to pay the developers and all that, you can make a donation. There is a link right on DH Unplugged. Please do so. It's a wonderful time of the year to give. It's you're in the Christmas spirit now, so you should give. You can follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter at TheRealDvorak. Myself, Andrew Horowitz at Andrew Horowitz. Just one word. DH closest to the DH Unplugged, close to the pin. Currently going is, let's see if we have anything on this. Boeing. Let's see what we got here. Can I see this? Boeing. View the contest. We have some numbers. Here we go. Right now, let's see. I'm 5% away. Let's see here. It's 174. It's currently trading at 182.
Yeah.
The average price of the entry of our listeners is $181.35, which is pretty close. Matter of fact, it's very close. It's only 60 cents away. Mike K is in the lead. He's 2 cents off. Wit is 14 cents off. Tanya W is 21 cents off. Robert S, 31 cents. Pretty good. Let's see. The worst case is all the way down. Wow. A lot of people here. Nick is 8% off. So got to come back a little bit. Go over to DH Unplugged and check out all there is to check out on the Boeing close to the pin. All right. Let's see here. Ah, I have some good news. You know that trick? You taught me this, I think, or maybe I think you told me this. That trick, the little trick. When you call up Comcast or your favorite cable company or maybe your favorite company that you're dealing with, or maybe like the old days when you would go out there and you would say, well, you know, I have this service, but I think I'm switching. And what do? They try like hell to keep you.
Yeah.
So I called them. I said, listen, I'm paying $170 a month at this vacation home that I have, and it's ridiculous. I'm never there. I don't want to have it. Let me see what we can do. Well, she went through this gyration. She came up with, I can save you $8 a month. I said, that's no good. I can't keep the service, and I'm going to have to cancel. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. you know, if I give you this one-year thing, it's a special promotion right now. For the cable, I could save you another like $20. I'm like, oh, okay. That's interesting. So what is it now? Well, with tax, it's about $135. I said, no, that's not going to work for me. I can't do it. I'm going to have to cut this out. Well, let me see what else I can do. Well, you know, I can, your sports package that you're paying $9 for, I could cut that down to $5. And your internet, while you're at 20 megabits per second download, I can move that to 75 and I can cut that down. Anyway, it went from 170 down to 116.
There you go.
So for all of you listening, if you don't know anything about what we're talking about at all, pick up the phone, call up your cable company, tell them you're thinking about switching and you need to have your rate cut. And I'm telling you, just keep pressing them. Keep on pressing them and pressing them.
You can get $40, $50 off really easy.
Yeah, just keep on doing it. In the area, real quickly about, you know what, we're going to save this because we're running a little bit out of time. A couple of things about we're going to save.
You got a couple of items here I noticed. This one is hilarious.
Yeah, the last one?
Yeah.
Yeah, so let me ask you first, this is a great one, before we get to that and the stocks, what are you writing for PC Magazine this week?
I'm writing about the WikiLeaks revelations about what the CIA is up to. And the underlying theme is, there's no surprises here from anybody who actually keeps up with this. And if they got all these powers to do all this stuff and, you know, break into everybody's phone and TV set and everything in between, how come they're not stopping these criminals that are online with ransomware? They must know who they are.
Yeah, because they're chatting saying, hey, look who we're going to attack.
So
the whole idea
it's just a complaint. It's just a bitter complaint.
We'll talk a little bit more about this next week, about the whole Alexa and Echo and various devices that can listen to you. It scares the bejesus out of me, I got to tell you.
Yeah, I don't have those things in the house.
Why don't you take this last item here?
Which item specifically? The eye condom?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a crazy story. A British company claims to have created the first smart condom, which rates your performance. This is obviously a practical. This is bull crap,
I don't know.
By the way.
I don't know.
It's got to be. I think this is an April Fool's joke that's been run out a little early. The Icon smart condom is like Fitbit, but for your penis. It provides all the statistics you need to assess your prowess, and it will also detect any form of sexually transmitted disease. I'm not buying it.
No?
No.
So, but what else it collects is it's like a Bluetooth thing, and it collects information on your the duration, calories burnt,
calorie count. Yeah, that's always good.
Number and speed of thrusts, girth measurements, and different positions. Now, how would it do different positions used per week, month, or year?
It's got obviously a gyroscope in it.
and the thing is that, you know, of course, people may be concerned about if it has any kind of a geo-tracking device in it that, you know, if you're doing the dirty in the wrong place that you shouldn't be, it could then have you in big trouble. But it says the info would be kept anonymous.
Uh-huh.
Now, users also will have the option to share their recent data with friends or the world.
The world.
Can you imagine that? I'd like you to go to my Penis Fit page and check out what I'm doing.
Yeah, look, I'm great.
Is it reusable?
Well, it has to be.
Oh, that's gross, man.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's not. I mean, it's possible to make something like this that's disposable, but it wouldn't be cheap. And with all the circuits involved, it would cost probably $20 a pop.
Well, there's a little picture of the box.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And so check this out. I mean, this is if the audience is listening, like to see what you have to say, bring it to us.
Yeah, anyone who believes any of this nonsense, I'd like to get your name and address. I got some stuff to sell.
Interesting. Let's take a look at the stocks. This is not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. It's not anything more than a game that we play each and every week in that we pick some stocks that we think will do well. Hopefully well. If you decide for whatever reason that you decide, well, I want to buy some of these or short these, well, you do it at your own risk. We are not going to take any liability for that at all. John C. Dvorak, Horowitz Company Clients, and Andrew Horowitz, me, may own any of these positions, and we will duly note that. You can also follow all these over on DH Unplugged. You just click on the weekly stock picks, and you'll see what's going on, what's in, what's out, what's been stopped out, the current gains, losses on all of these that are updated in real time. A lot of things got stopped out.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, the list is getting smaller, but we still can't get rid of a few of these names. It's just not happening.
No. Look, Barclays for sure.
Barclays not getting the TBT is running. That's from 9/4. That's from September of last year, which is a long time for us. We have that TBT on there. Kinder Morgan's doing well. Tronc was trunked. Retractable Technologies, even though you had a 20% trailing stop, which means you were up 10% at one point, came down. Facebook Short is not going anywhere. Actually, down 5%. Qualcomm is up 1.2%. You got stopped on advanced emissions for a 14% gain. Calavo Growers, they were up 9% today. We just got stopped out of it recently, and it was up 9%. Oh,
that's a shame. You were all over that one.
The avocados from Mexico. Macquarie is doing okay. We got stopped out on Under Armour. That thing is a disaster, that stock. Walgreens up 2.6% for a second time around, making money on that. Tesla short is up 11.3%.
Yeah, that was your pick, and that was a gem.
Yeah, GNC Holdings, which just cannot get itself going. This is
I don't know what the deal is with that, why I couldn't get anywhere with it.
Yeah, it's just a real problem, I think.
And the penny stock at the bottom didn't do well, obviously. Yeah. Although I like it. I think I'd put my own money in that, just let it sit.
You could do that. You could add it back to the list. I have two names for this week. I've been looking at the fast casual, fast food restaurants. We actually show. I put this on Twitter. So if you did follow me, you got this. I shorted Shake Shack last week, and we closed it just yesterday or
Tuesday. You just love hating Shake Shack.
I do. There's a few stocks. You know, you got to have a few names that you're just.
Yeah, you just, boy, that's, you're all over it. You're like the Shake Shack expert. That and Crocs and Green Mountain. And I can almost think of the other one. There's like five of these stocks.
There was also, what was the other one?
You're just back and forth on these things. But Shake Shack is right up there with your all-time favorites.
Yep, we shorted it.
I think it's all based on the fact that you ate there once.
I ate there once, and I looked at also the same-store sales, and it was pretty lousy in terms of their growth. Their growth was down to 4% for a growth stock with a 40-plus PE, and it's not what it's supposed to be. Plus, the entire industry is under attack, not just burgers, just all this fast casual stuff. People don't want to eat. It seems that people don't have no desire to eat crap anymore.
I don't know. How's McDonald's doing?
McDonald's is doing great. I looked at them and I was looking for a short for this show in the area of fast food and fast casual. And there's a few of them I looked at. There's like El Pollo Loco and there's Shake Shack.
I did go to McDonald's to try their Mac, a Big Mac Junior.
And?
The one patty Big Mac.
How was it?
I would say that if I'm going to compare these things objectively, that it's more or less the same as a Whopper Jr. from Burger King.
With a different sauce.
With a different sauce.
Yeah. So it's not two old beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. It's just a two.
It's everything but one patty instead of two.
Right.
And then I guess I got a three patty one, which I didn't want to try because it just looked like a calorie bomb.
Well, I looked at all these names and McDonald's keeps on floating up and doing well, but a lot of these other names are starting to drip down and look a little awful. Jack in the Box, which is a oil saturated West Coast favorite late night thing, right?
Much. That, especially with the tacos. You know, those tacos are actually see-through.
Because they're just oil soaked.
Yeah, are see-through.
Fry them whole. But Jack
when
in the Box.
You put them in a bag, the bag turns transparent within a few minutes.
So I picked Jack in the Box to short. It looks like there's a bit of a hole down here that if in fact these fast food keep on continuing to be very disappointing, it could be a bit of a good short. And then I thought that maybe, just maybe, gold would be rebounding after a six-day move on the downside. And I went back to this three times gold miner.
Oh, that one.
Yep, three times gold miner.
That's another one of your faves.
Yeah, you can make some quick money in that.
Yeah, if it goes in the right direction, you also lose a lot. Yeah.
What do you have for choices?
I just have the one thing, Snapchat short.
Oh, yeah, 352. You go with Snapchat short. Snap. All right. Let me put that in here. All right. What's your thesis, except for the fact it's going bankrupt?
It's a piece of crap. It's a penny stock selling for $20-something.
P-O-C.
That's my thesis. There's no insiders or anything. I mean, sure, they're selling if they have the stock to sell.
POC, no good.
Yeah, no good. That's why. That's my rationale.
Somebody in the chat room says we can't short snap. Why should you? We actually can short. I just told you.
At the beginning of the show, he pointed out it's now shortable.
Yeah, I saw it shortable. It was 450,000 shares. So if you're having a problem, go to a different
broker.
You can't
short a million shares.
Yeah, but you can go to a different broker. Some brokers won't have it. So if you're like looking at a Robinhood app or something like that, or some other brokerage that doesn't have the ability to do so, get a better broker that has these kind of shares that got the allocation.
Yep. Exactly.
All right. Well, we're going to close it there. How's that?
I think that's about it. Yeah. I think we're good.
All right. I'm playing the outro music. Here we go.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.